This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 29th of January, 1954. The title of this lecture is Simple Basis of Evaluating Cases. This lecture is 61 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay, and this is the afternoon lecture of January the 29th, 1954. And this moment, we are going to ask you an interesting question as an auditor. Why is there somebody in this class that isn't clear? I'm asking you that as an auditor now. What's the answer? They're getting there. They're getting there. Some of them are dragging their heels. I'll tell you why it is. It's in view of the fact that instruction up to certain principles takes a certain amount of time, absorption, some confidence in your own material. If you took this long to clear somebody you pulled off the street, I would be so ashamed of you, I would just go and cry quietly into my beer. I don't care what kind of a case he was. They brought it in on a stretcher. You poked it, and the flesh where you poked it stayed dented. So let's not get our sights adjusted on what we're doing here and what we can do. Let's just not adjust what we can do by what we're doing. All right, there's a lot of answers to this. You've had the answers. You may not have fully enough digested some of these answers, but you had them. Now, if you think there's any big mystery that's suddenly going to be revealed all in a flash, it will probably wait upon that moment when you suddenly reveal to yourself that you've just now integrated this business. And that will probably come as a flash. You'll say, hey, that's simple. Wait a minute. C to E, trying to get a straight communication line. Satan, trying to get a communication line in the body. Oh. You know, that must mean that he doesn't have a straight communication line to the body. See, you don't suppose that could be communication lag, do you? Well, no, probably not. That doesn't quite tie in there. But, you know, you run this Courage, and the fellow bogs and picks up and bogs and picks up. I don't know, you suppose he's busting through something? Say, I wonder if that's what Ron meant by ridges. Well, it might take a little time for a communication if it were going through particles all the time. Maybe that would be a communication lag. Say, you suppose that there's something about this fellow who comes in and says, well, I don't know, but I think. Suppose there's some connection between this manifestation and that guy's case? Hey, I bet there is. I'm now being very nastily sarcastic about it. But the truth of the matter is, it's just that simple. Only we're undergoing an unlearning process. And this process, time after time, overshoots the super complexity of your observation. You observe this terribly complex mass of communication lines. Somebody has just taken all the communication lines in the United States, bundled them all up in a ball, fixed it up so that the ends don't compare with the ends, and there's no color tracing charts, and there's nothing like that, and they've suddenly dumped it in your lap. This is a graphic representation of a preclear. The preclear tries to put in at C to the body to get an effect the following command, walk. And then it goes through all communication lines, all balled up, and it goes down to Cincinnati. And at Cincinnati, it says, well, walking is connected with orthopedics, and I knew a man in orthopedics. And walking is connected with orthopedics. And then as soon as it gets to St. Louis, that changes, knew a man, well, I knew a man I hated once whose name was Ortho. Therefore, walking is difficult, and therefore, so on. That's what goes on the back line. And then it goes up to Denver, and at Denver, why, there's a big ridge there that says, walking too fast is bad for your health. This is a ridge known as Aunt Gracie. And this backfires all the way up the bank. And you've got the Thetan cutting off all backflashes, resisting all the backflows, and trying to get the communication through anyhow. And the more he pushes, and the more he tries not to be pushed at, the more balled up the lines become. The obvious solution to the problem is to have the Thetan on one communication line, which is from C to E, if he's running a body. And it bypasses all those other lines. Well, you can either take all those other lines and blow them up and remedy the havingness when you've done so, or you can go around the other way and simply neglect all the lines and insist on a straight line going through. Insisting on a straight line going through is opening procedure. Neglects all lines. And several other processes do this same thing. One of those is take a hold of the back anchor points of the room. The lines try to come through. You hear them backflashing. You hear the ridges trying to click in and tell you to think and do this and do that, and you just ignore them. You hold the back anchor points of the room and don't think. Well, that's neglecting the lines. Your unlimited techniques uniformly are neglect the line techniques. Neglect all the lines techniques. And your limited techniques are the blasting techniques, which try to go through the lines. Every preclear is composed of enough lines so as to make either or, you know, either you just say, well, we're going to neglect all lines, and we're not going to pay any attention to any lines, and we're going to do this as an all technique. Well, you understand that you'd get there. It might take you a lot longer, however, but you get there sooner or later if you just say we're going to neglect all lines and we're just going to do opening procedure and hold the back anchor points of the room and look through walls until this person is in good condition. Now, that's insisting upon a straight line. The Thetan, C, the body, E. One line. And then actually, no line. There's just an understood line there. And you'd have to bail him out of energy, which would be bail him out of agreement with the messed universe to some degree to do this. This is why you'd at least have to get him to look through walls. The other process will get you there faster if you interject it and know when to use it. It'll get you there, oh, much faster, unless you try to consider it an all process. If you try to consider blasting through the lines an all process, you will eventually bog somewhere if you don't use an unlimited technique in between. If we ran courage processing on somebody just endlessly, and we never paid any attention to anything else, we never let him look through walls, never had him hold on to the back anchor points of the room, we never did anything like opening procedure, you wouldn't get there. It's not an all technique. It's limited in use because you're going to upset his havingness this way and upset his havingness that way and do various other things. Well, main thing wrong with your preclear, because it's a C to E, is, as covered in the Philadelphia Congress last year, Q&A, C to E, duplication of the communication, the difficulty with your preclear has to do with an energy starvation. Well, intention, in the level of intentions, it has another thing to do. If a preclear doesn't work well, easily, or exteriorize well or easily, then he's on some kind of a flinch. There's three kinds of flinch that are stuck, what you call stuck flinches. There's don't flinch stuck, flinched away stuck, and No Place to Flinch To stuck. And those are three downward levels. Now you'll find a lot of people facing up to life and doing all sorts of interesting things with that regard, and these people can't flinch. You know, they've got it's a stuck forward. You know, they're stuck at life. They're stuck on it. It's a flinch. It's right there, you see, but they can't flinch. And so they're stuck on life and determined somehow or other to muddle through because they can't get out of a situation. This person is recognizable immediately if you get one lock up on straight wire which doesn't release. You say, now, you worried a lot about yourself. Who in your family used to worry about you? A fella says, not my mother and father. They never worried much about me. My grandmother worried about me all the time. Say, that's right. My grandmother worried about me all the time. You see, I feel better. That guy's not on a stuck flinch. That released immediately. All right, let's take the other case. Well, no, my mother and father didn't worry about me, but my grandmother used to worry about me. Yes, she used to worry about me. I caused her a lot of trouble. Yes. Used to do all sorts of things, very upsetting to her. Yeah, she worried about me all the time. Yeah. Stuck flinch. Not only did his grandmother worry about him, she used to hold him and impress it upon him that he had to be a better boy and so forth. She wouldn't let him flinch. She put in a ridge. Here's what your boy's riding. He's stuck on a ridge. You'll find a lot of resistive fives will get up to this point and then find out they've got a black ridge stuck in front of their face. Well, what's anything doing stuck in front of anybody's face? He can certainly get away from it, can't he? He can simply move back and he's away from it. That's simple. Well, he can't flinch from it. And so there they sit with the ridge right in front of their face. Can't flinch from grandma. Can't flinch from this. Can't flinch from that. You'd say offhand, this fellow's pretty brave. No, he's not. As a matter of fact, there's a lot more terror in him than the fellow who did the release. But he's on a can't flinch, stuck at it. See? He can't flinch back. Now, there is the fellow who has flinched from life, and he's a much worse case. He'd answer you somewhat on this line. Well, nobody, mother and father didn't worry about me. I know that. My life been ruined by the fact they never took any interest in my career, and so on. He's on the subject, although it isn't the right answer. See? Almost any subject he gets into, he sits there and confronts, braced back from it. He's flinched back, and he can't get into center position again. Now, if you just see this as a fellow who is should be on point X, center of his head, and the stuck flinch boy is out forward, you know, the stuck flinch forward is sort of stuck out front, and the stuck flinch back is stuck back and can't move forward. You see, he can't move forward in any direction. Why, you will see then that any subject which you put in front of him, he just stays back flinched from it. See? He's back flinched from a subject. There it is. He'll go on talking about it. He'll go on examining it. But he just kicked his head back, you see? You can almost see them do this. There they sit, see? The other fellow will get in there. He's back flinched forward. The other fella, he's backing up from it. The personal characteristics of these two people are quite different. One is quite progressive. He gets things done in a sort of a bulldog, horrible, grinded all to pieces sort of a way. And the other fellow has somewhat of a donkey personality. You try to get him to take one step forward down the street or up the time track or something of the sort, and his reaction is to move back down the time track. If you tried to pull him up the street, he would find a reason why he had to go the other way on the street. And then there's this poor fellow who tells you there's no place to flinch to. You say, all right, now look in the blackness around you and flinch from it. He will quickly discover and tell you he'd happily flinch, but there's no place to flinch to. Well, this is a dwindling spiral. A fellow is alternately on stuck forward flinches and stuck back flinches. Alternately. And each one more thorough. Until finally he runs out of any place to flinch to. He can't flinch back and he can't flinch forward. You know, life's just got him. Well, in all of these cases, you have a problem of exteriorization and interiorization complicated by the fact that any time you confront the preclear with any one of these preclears with something, he will handle it in one of these fashions. He'll either try to grind it to pieces, or he'll back up from it and look at it and sort of be, well, there it is. So, he won't go anyplace, though, on the subject. And the other one just sort of goes into a horrible confusion. He doesn't know whether he's going forward or he doesn't know whether he's going backward. He doesn't know whether it's dangerous or not, and actually everything is dangerous. Now, you'll see that's terrific generalization there, but you'll actually see these cases unfold before your eye. Now, the stuck flinch forward will be trying to find the answer to his case with deep significance because he's pouring his banks and lines full continually of energy. And of course, he's energizing all kinds of things. And they pop up and hit him, and he stays in there and pitches. He's like a boxer that's completely punch drunk into standing in the middle of the ring, delivering rather poorly directed blows doggedly, and got enough sense to dodge any blow that hits him. Yet he's terrified of every blow that might be struck. Not by his opponent so much as the ring posts or the referee. Might be the audience is going to hit him too. He doesn't quite know. But he's in there slugging. And a horrible state of mind, by the way, in a preclear to combat. And the cases which are backflinched won't take the most obvious answers you give them. You can turn up an answer. The reason why the fellow's ankle hurts is not so much a somatic as having barked his ankle on the back bumper of the car just before he walked up your steps. And you say, well, that looks to me like a bruise from something. Have you hit something recently? No. Oh, it must be, I don't know. You've offered him an answer. He knows, you say, he hit himself on the bumper of the car and so forth, but he's backflinched. Every time he has an answer presented to him, he just further backflinches. He just keeps going backwards, in other words. That's his philosophy. If you back up and don't look at any of the answers, you'll get by, he figures. And the fellow who can't flinch any place regards every answer delivered to him as just another whizzing particle going in some undetermined direction which adds to the general confusion in which he is sitting. It's an overt act on your part, but he can't have any justice, and he can't do anything about it. See that? There you're looking at chaos. That's a beautiful picture of mess. Well, in any one of these cases, what are you dealing with? You're dealing with communication lines. The first fellow, with his forward flinch, he's trying to get that communication through. He's trying to get it through. And the other fellow is back flinched because he knows that the communication he just put through is going to hit him. He knows it was just the fact that he said he was going to lay down this envelope, but He just doesn't even bother to look, but if he thought it over, he'd know the envelope a moment later was going to come up and smash him. This is how obvious it is to them, and you think I'm exaggerating these cases, but I'm not exaggerating them. All right. There's all kinds of things you can do with these cases on these two bases. The unlimited technique, which just bypasses and neglects all the communication lines, and the other fellow. Now, the guy who's sitting in the middle of horrible confusion does some interesting and peculiar things the moment that you start to put him into anything vaguely resembling an orderly communication system, validating his own communication system. You know, you get him to validate or put life into the communication lines in which he's sitting. Well, second you do this, his confusion becomes much more apparent, of course. And you finish a session having cleaned up to your satisfaction a great many things, and he's just sitting there in more confusion. That's because the trouble with him was there's too many lines live anyhow, and you just made some more lines live. Unless you tackle it on this basis, and this is an interesting thing, if you can give him anything orderly, if he can find anything orderly in his communication lines, if he can find just one C to E that satisfies him, boy, he'll pick up quite markedly. And this is so true that a cycle will very often break on the next to the last list in self-analysis. You've just straightened out one line. You say, now let's see if you can recall something that is real. 15 minutes of silence. Yes, Jesus. What an enormous relief it is. Now, do you know he'd go around hugging that communication line to his bosom as a straight line for days if you just left it right at that? The other one is to whistle him out of the communication louse up. You say, come on up to present time. You validated the fact there was a present time and didn't charge up his lines. Perhaps he's been treated by psychoanalysis, which examines the past continually. All right, all they do is chew up his lines. They chew up more lines and more lines and more lines, and they make more things live. In other words, these lines are as live as he validates them. These lines are as live as he puts life into them. And the more you start chewing up this fellow's past, if he's in that horrible condition, you'll get away with it, maybe. Apparently, you can run an engram, but after you've run the engram, he's even more confused. You can do all sorts of things, but he just seems to be more confused. Well, they kept validating the past and validating the past and validating the past and validating the past on the theory that there was some kind of a magic button which, when pressed, or some sort of a little charge machine that was superinstalled in the individual, which, when energized, would blow the person into the clear. Their reliance upon the automatic machinery to throw the bank open was even more pathetic than it was childish. They expected something in the pre-clear to magically clean his communication system up. Well, maybe he did have a machine once that did that, but the trouble with him is his automaticity. And now you're looking for and have as your total goal an automaticity whereby this fellow all of a sudden is going to get clear, or something of the sort, whatever they call it. I think they went into the upper bracket of schizophrenia was their highest reach. That is to say, not neurotic yet. I'm joking now, but actually you'd think when they give you their results and tallies, you'd talk to the people that they had worked on, you'd be fascinated. Because you're still talking to somebody who was raving. Or somebody who was being, this was common, they were being very careful to live their life according to a pattern which wouldn't disturb them. You've seen those people around, you know. And you say, how about remembering something that's real? Well, you'll have to ask my analyst. I've had them do that, by the way. All right. They've had some very nervously plotted communication lines given them. Not their own communication lines at all. The analyst has drawn a C to E from the time they raped their baby sister up to the time when their dog committed suicide. And he's shown that one was cause and the other was effect. And he says, now you've got this, you'd better be happy with it because that's all you're ever going to have or something. And they've gone off with this artificial line, not even their line. So these people can be thrown way out of gear by evaluation. That's what evaluation does for somebody. It gives him an artificial line. All right. Now, when we're dealing with the business of people, we have these various mechanical factors to look at. So it tells you that the more you validate the past, the more you're going to charge up somebody's lines, right? The more you depend on an automaticity to suddenly blow a guy clear, the more you're validating automaticities. So we're going to blow a guy's lines clear, then let's take the particle that blows lines clear and work with that, and then step over into unlimited techniques, and then step back over to not just the line-blowing clear technique, but let's use it with some good sense. Take courage processing, and all of a sudden, as we run it along the line, the fellow just, he's kind of getting awful bogged on something or other, and he's mentioned at this moment his sister, as he's mentioning her for the third time. You should suspect at that moment, as his communication lag extends and extends and extends, that you have entered a new part of the communication system, hitherto relatively unexplored. And you've charged up something there with some energy, and he's going to grab this energy as havingness and see if he can't get the significance out of it and press the energy to his bosom. That's what he's trying to do. Well, you'll help him look for significance, and if you can look for enough significance, you'll give him some nice clean energy that he can press to his bosom. It's easier to mock up some. Now, any time you find that he's mentioned his sister or his uncle or something two or three times, and he seems to get fixated on this subject, or he crabs to you about the horrible treatment that he got from his Uncle Oscar, and so on, you should have an idea there's a line charged and stuck. That line is charged and stuck. And the line itself is alive. Well, it is alive because he wants the mass, which he believes is there. So it tells you that when this stuff sticks, and when the individual sticks, and when his comm lag goes up, you better remedy his havingness. You remedy it once time, and you'll kick a lot of things out of havingness. Now, here's an example, which I will just cross up, that just happened just a little while ago. That has to do with havingness. An auditor found in a pre-clear, a very experienced auditor, found in a pre-clear a very good accounting phrase, an excellent answer to one of the manifestations which the pre-clear had noted and worried about. And the auditor remedied the phrase. It was a Dianetic phrase, you see. He remedied the phrase. But the phrase was spoken by a relative of the pre-clears. Uh-oh. Now, one phrase taken out of that is all right. If you took the remaining phrases out, this would still be all right. But we're hitting a longer road. Now, the only reason I'm talking about this, I'm just trying to show you something that shortens the track for you all of a sudden. It must be that there's a scarcity of havingness of that kind of mass. So instead, a second that we find out that a relative's comment has had this much effect upon the individual, we must realize there must have been a scarcity of that relative. Ha ha. Well, there's the relative's comment there being terrifically powerful on the pre-clear. Why is it being? Well, he must be holding that mass of energy in it himself. Well, why is he? Well, it must be a scarcity then of that particular kind of energy that he thinks he has to have. Maybe he doesn't want it, but he thinks he has to have it anyhow. Well, there's a havingness problem on the subject of the mass of the person who uttered the phrase. So let's just not hit the phrase. Let's be real bright. Let's just remedy the mass. Don't ever hit significance beyond finding out what kind of mass you ought to remedy. And don't remedy mass beyond a necessity to just plow on through the lines. How long do you handle a significance? What do you do for a significance? Well, you handle a significance just long enough to find out whether or not the individual is constantly or consistently bringing up some such person as mother. Well, that was what my mother said. Yeah, that was what my mother said. That sort of thing. Mother's come up here two or three times. Well, there's a comm line going through a ridge called Mother. And the only reason it would go through that ridge is that there must be a scarcity of that mass. Okay, let's mock up the mass. What mass? Let's mock up Mother. How do we mock her up? Let's get her to be acceptable. Let's mock her up so she's acceptable, some fashion or another. You know, broken down, a char woman, in rags, about to die. That isn't so good. On her deathbed and unable to die but in horrible agony. Oh, that's very acceptable. Snap, 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 snap. In we go. Well, the reason we're looking for the automaticity is we want to know whether or not we're knocking out the ridge, because the suction pump on the thing is this ridge setup. And that's why we want him to snap in. A preclear tells you that he can't get anybody to snap in. Either isn't being audited properly, or is on a back flinch, which is keeping him away from all ridges. You see that? I mean, they just, you want that automaticity. If you don't get the automaticity, why, you're not hitting in there. You can mock up Papa and stuff him into the preclear and so forth, but you're looking for an interruption in the bank, which is an automaticity. Now let's get a rejection form for Mama after we've mocked up a lot of Mamas and crushed them together and shoved them into the preclear. Now I have him mock up in himself Mama in some fashion or another in such a way that she will fly away from him automatically. Let's use these automaticities. Just use them and blow them. And without giving it very much more trouble, you'll find out that the phrases that Mama was prone to utter, her habits and complaints and so forth, if you've done this well, it might take you a little while to do it properly, will have blown out of the preclear. We've gotten rid of a valence. Remember what I told you about these comm lines going through C to E, winning valences? Well, Mama's all over the track as a winning valence. That's why he keeps going through there, so he hasn't got enough Mamas. See, he hasn't got enough winning valences, it tells you right away. Well, the back flinch is unwilling to put lines through losing valences and has around him or her practically nothing but losing valences. Insufficient number of winning valences. Doesn't want to emulate anybody. Everybody lost. That sort of thing. It very often happens that you'll get people flipping out of that bank long before you can get anybody to flip into it. Everybody lost. Let's just take Papa and Mama and other people and mock them up in the preclear in such a way that they will suddenly fly away from the preclear. Back flinch remedied by you have to get the preclear to be able to reject something because he's backed off from all of life. Get him to reject a lot of things. All of a sudden, why, he's not backing up from all these phrases. And so you can plow his bank open. How clever do you have to be to do this? You have to be clever enough to pay attention to what the preclear is saying. Now, almost incidentally, I want to tell you about a special breed of case. There are people who have hit the eatingness band, eatingness, sexiness band, to such a degree that they'll sit right in something on a back flinch. Now, what more of a back flinch can you get than somebody who is backing up from teeth which are about to eat him up? See, back flinch. And he'll just back away from the bank in all directions. And he'll have the most intricate mechanisms to demonstrate that it's very logical for him to back away from all the bank. And yes, but it goes back simply into this. It's about that cut on the scale, eatingness, something like that, on a heavy back flinch. And what do we got? We've got somebody who is refusing to give satisfaction. And they dramatize this. You ask them, how do you feel? And they say, you've audited them for 2 hours or an hour and a half or something like that. Well, no better. You know damn well they feel better. The E-meter has climbed. You've done quite a little for the case. Getting a little more certain, a little more this and that. You can plot this case. In this case, say no better. You got a case on a back flinch. The case which refuses to give satisfaction. Now, just a little bit above that case, you have a case that is insisting on giving satisfaction. Watch for both of these cases. Below that, you have the no place to flinch case, who doesn't know whether he ought to give you any satisfaction, you ought to give him any satisfaction, or who's auditing who. See? No place to flinch. All right, now we've got that level of case. These, by the way, you don't find these levels of case in people who are bad off. This is not an index of neurosis or psychosis that I'm giving you. It's just a mechanical indication of where the case sits. What you got to do for the case with regard to auditing, which is a specialized behavior pattern. So you look around you and you'll find that the cases on a back flinch or a forward flinch or a no place to go, you'll find out that the forward flinch case will give you satisfaction. They will answer up and they will say they feel better and they have some hope and some optimism in the thing. The back flinch boy will give you no satisfaction, and the other fellow just keeps kind of saying uncertainly that he doesn't know. See those three cases? Well, those are the only three cases there are that are hard to exteriorize. And those are the three classes of cases that are hard to exteriorize. The reason they're hard to exteriorize is because they're stuck in a direction. The bottom level, of course, has no direction he can go, so he can't move out of his head. The front flinch, if he got out at all, would probably move out in front of his face. And the back flinch, of course, is strained back away from the bank already and is stuck there. And if you told him to go any further, he'd lose total contact. See, you told him to be 3 feet back of his head, he'd just go out of contact. So he doesn't dare do that, so he hasn't got any place to go, of course. And the front flinch boy, he'll go into his head. Now, as you run a case up the line, a case will occasionally hit some of these manifestations. They're very peculiar. Now, you understand that a guy can be in one kind of an incident, just one incident, where he's front stuck. And he can be in another special kind of, just one incident, rest of the bank, just cleaner and whistle, where he's back stuck. And in just one incident, where he is squirreling around. You say the answer, then, is to find that incident. Well, you've got the answer to how to find the incident without even looking at it. Courage processing. If it's just one incident, believe me, it'll blow, but fast. It'll blow right out. Courage about the closure of distance. And courage about distance which insists on closing. You have the preclear on the stuck front flinch. He's being courageous about closing the distance, and so his space is all out. And the fellow who is stuck on the back flinch has all of the everything out in front of him there that won't close. Nothing will close with him. He's gotten into a state of mind, or he's in kind of an incident that makes him sort of think everything goes on forever, and that he can't back any further off, but he's got to. I remember a preclear I ran an incident out of, a space opera incident, beautiful incident. The ship blew up while it was on the ground, and it blew up while he was over against the hangar. And it blew him back against the wall, but he only had an inch to go. It plastered him all over the wall, but of course he didn't move in spite of the violent explosion which had occurred in front of him. So he was back flinching without any place to go further back from. See, he was stuck. He was stuck on a back flinch. All right. Front flinch people quite often have been blown up from the rear and are going forward. See that? It can be just one incident. You needn't even try to isolate it, however, because that kind of incident and what we're doing, it'll show it up rather rapidly if it's just one incident. But the trouble with these cases are they normally are not stuck in just one. They're stuck in chains of incidents, which are similar. Their life is sort of wrapped up in this kind of a pattern. They think their philosophy of existence has matched this particular chain, and so this chain is alive. Oh, get that, please. They're not trying to do this because they're dramatizing something that's happened to them. They have an entirely different bank pattern, too. They could pick that up and dramatize it as easily. But their basic philosophy of existence is that it's better to stand off and be an observer. And eventually, they'll match this up with a chain of back flinches, which proves it. Such as being a big explosion in front of your face, but you can't blow any further back through the hangar. So you just better stand there and look at it. Well, now, people start to use facsimiles to force the body into action. And the Thetan himself has picked up this facsimile and put it on the body at some place in the past, or somebody in the past, in order to make the body stand its ground and not retreat. He's used the facsimile, so let's not get this backwards. The postulate goes before the chain. So if we're dealing with a basic intention of an individual, it would seem that you could just get him to shift his philosophy, and you'd occasionally get some sort of result. And sure enough, in various religious practices and so forth, this was all they had, so they specialized in getting somebody to change his philosophy. Well, if they could do this, well, all he had to do after that, you see, all he had to do after that was simply validate another chain. Make another pattern live and not try to prove the old philosophy. But what do you know? When a person is made to abandon a basic philosophy, he goes into apathy. That's why religions are in apathy. Okay. You'd say then, very simple, all we had to do is just get somebody to change his postulates. He's all set. Well, you get somebody to change his postulates. There's too many things, too many people, too much of this and that have been around to make him change his postulates. And that basic postulate might have been light enough to change very early on the track, but he's proved it too often. And that's the engram chain that you've got there, and this is why he's not exteriorizing or interiorizing mechanically. The engram chain is why he's not doing it mechanically. The other fellow says, well, the way to get through life is just to hit it and, you know, close in tight and devil take the hindmost and plunge and let it roll. Well, he proves this by digging up all sorts of incidents because the philosophy itself keeps validating that type of incident. When he reads a book, anything which validates that philosophy, he'll underscore or remember. He's trying to prove himself right. Well, you could then theorize and say, well, he has some idea he has to prove himself and that sort of thing. No, your mechanics are still C to E. Let's not worry about it any further. If you could make him work out this basic philosophy on a direct line of the body, you'd simply do so. He would make the body into the best spectator you ever saw, a fellow with a back flinch, but also be able to exteriorize himself and do all kinds of things without changing his basic philosophy. Now, he may have learned something or may have decided to change it on his own free will. He will. But there's no amount of persuasion that you can give him that's simply going to change his method of looking at things. Now, the fellow who starts out to be the center of everything as a sort of a basic philosophy, he wants to be the attraction point or something. That's just another philosophy. He'll eventually wind up with no place to flinch. So these are not necessarily a gradient scale of the dwindling spiral of a case. Not necessarily, but they can be plotted that way. And we find out that of the three solutions, the forward stuck is the most workable, the back stuck is the second least workable, and the no place to go be the center of attraction, you see. Everything's going to come in on me is utterly fatal. because that agrees completely with the meshed universe. This meshed universe isn't back flinching or front flinching. It's making everything into the center of attraction. Oh, it's a very nice universe. It makes everything the center of attraction. It pounds it from 360 degrees. Well, the basic philosophy of the case could enter in here. Well, you don't have to deal with those factors. You should understand they're there, and it's quite simple. The only thing that you're trying to deal with is merely the straightforward line, C to E. And in either event, it is courage and serenity on the upper level that plows through these lines. Well, there's beauty, which goes right in with creativeness and so forth, which is a slightly different track. Beauty. And it goes upstairs, of course, to serenity too. But if you start on the nobility track, you're going to get into beauty as a particle. Or the guy will try to tell you there's a beauty particle. He'll get into something that he considers an emotion called beauty. It'll be different, every person. Not like courage. That's the same. Everybody's got the same particle. But this other one, what he's considered beautiful is merely what he's considered. Beauty is consideration. But he goes from nobility to beauty, and beauty goes down through nobility to degradation. And there's the track of degradation. If you want to hit that directly, try to do something about this beauty, nobility, and degradation. I repeat, though, that the much, much more workable track is courage. Courage to serenity. That plows through. How long do you plow through? Well, you plow through this sort of thing long enough to get your character out of these super back flinches and front flinches and spin flinches. And you just carry through until you've done it. Your remedy is havingness. When you find any object in the meshed universe is having a great command effect upon the preclear, remedy it in terms of havingness. And this is also a person. Remedy it in terms of havingness. Remedy Papa or Mama or, you know, he probably never paid much attention to. But Mother, she said, well, a boy that makes good because he is honest and truthful. So he's honest and truthful. Well, that's all right. That's one way of getting along in life. Except that your boy is not in good condition. He can't exteriorize. Well, there must have been a big scarcity of Mama. We find out, sure enough, there was. Other cases, we find out that maybe it was Papa who had this tremendous command value. Ha-ha. There might have been a great abundance of Papa where there should have been a scarcity, which has gotten to the point where one can't get rid of Papa. So everything Papa said is true. You know, everywhere you look, there's Papa. Didn't want Papa, didn't like Papa. Although occasionally, little things will show up that sort of make him think, well, he really liked Papa. And you start to run this. First, he tells you he hates Papa, and then he tells you, well, he really liked Papa, and then he didn't like Papa, and he liked Papa. In other words, your big maybe is Papa-ing out of the case. And so we have our problem, though, again, in terms of havingness, and it's always run the same way. You just mark up Papa suitably until he pops in, and mark him up suitably until he pops out. And you just get lots of him and remedy the mass. And all Papa's phrases will go by the bards. The phrases? You certainly can't do much with a flock of air particles. Let's get mass. Well, there's an awful lot of cute little processes. Tremendous number of real cute processes. Every once in a while, an auditor will hit one of these things, be delighted. But when they're very workable, they add up this way. It's when they reverse a stuck flow. When a process reverses a stuck flow, you have then an excellent process, which lasts just long enough, as in ridge running, to reverse the stuck flow. you know. The fella said, walk, and the line went white for a little while and then went black. Well, what was the next phrase that stopped it? Well, can't walk is the next phrase that stopped it. And you run can't walk, and you find out that line runs just exactly the reverse direction. And it runs out, too. It turns white and then goes black. You can't walk. So we get these two types of manifestations. Well, every time you're hitting one of these ridges on a communication line going through the bank, you can run it for a certain direction, and then it has a tendency to want to turn around. And this is also true of a courage particle. That's why you must be careful to put it exterior to the preclear occasionally. Running it in brackets approximates the shunts and runs of the communication ball-ups in the bank. See? And you can have the preclear mock-up courage above his head, mock-up courage and mock-up courage, and then one day he's been doing this on his own or something, and a couple days later, you know, he can't mock up a single particle of courage. You say, after all of my work, he can't mock up any courage. Well, he extended it forward into the bank and hit it to a point where it's going to flow back. All right, get bright. It's just a stuck flow. Have him put some courage in the walls. That's all. Simple remedy. Have mock up somebody in front of him, have them feel courageous toward him. Get some backflow. Make it flow both ways, because you are dealing with courage. You're dealing with a particle, a very valid particle. The very valid particles are courage and admiration. Those are two distinctly different particles. And force, which is another entirely different particle. Those are very distinct, valid particles. And everybody's agreed on those particles. Courage, admiration, force. Same particle, preclear to preclear. They mock up the same kind of particle. All right. When you get off from that, why, they get different kinds of things which might or might not be particles, but these were very straight on. All right, what's our worry then in processing anything which flows through lines? Our worry is that we're giving life to the bank. Well, if we're going to give life to the bank, let's only give life to it long enough so that we get the preclear out of what he's stuck in. Well, how long do we have to run such a particle as courage one way and then the other and back and around and brackets and so forth? We have to run it until the fellow can hold the two back anchor points of the room with great effectiveness and exteriorize. That's how long you have to run it. Well, I don't care how long that is. You won't either. Because you'll find out sometimes it's only 15 minutes. And you'll find out sometimes it's 5 hours. And you may find out sometimes it's 15. And you may find out sometimes, in some case, if you can reach the case, this is the case with the dented flesh, it might be 80, 90 hours, all of which would be interspersed with these unlimited techniques. See that? I've never heard of a case that would go up that far, but it could happen. All right. Where does your judgment come in as an auditor? Oh, boy, it stands up like signposts. The signs on which you have to judge are now so big that if you were to run into them, gee, you'd get bruised. They're big. They're big. Big signs. Unmistakable. Change of perception. Change of attitudes and ideas. All of which boil down to communication lag. CD. Those are the signs you look for. If you run this case for quite a little while and you're not getting much communication lag, boy, he must be up into a ridge there so darn solid with that communication line that nothing's boring through that ridge, not even Edgar Rice Burroughs's earth borer could go through it. So there's some havingness connected with it there that's so darn scarce, and this thing's so darn solid that you sure better do something about it. It's havingness on some subject or another. You better remedy it. All right, communication lag. You didn't get a change in communication. That was the biggest thing you were noticing with this case. The next thing you were noticing in the case, you weren't getting a change of attitude. You've processed him now two sessions, three sessions, and he said at the end of each session, well, he guessed that might have helped him a little bit, but he really didn't know. As a matter of fact, that case should have had a lot of self-analysis next to the last list. If that case keeps doing that, string him some lines. Let him string some lines. And he required a hell of a lot of opening procedure. Opening procedure, you understand, is slow processing. Not fast processing, but it's fast processing, and then its results are resultant. You get the result, it's there. That's its value. All right, or the case says, gives you a wise crack, or a rather sneering wise crack at the end of the session. You know, you ask him how he is now, and you just get kind of a sneering, sarcastic something or something. The guy's on a back flinch. Well, it's all right for him to do this at the end of one session, but when he does at the end of two sessions, you better start looking not at the pre-clear, but what the heck you're doing here. Because the boy's on a back flinch. See, obviously, he can't look at it. See, he's backed way up off the subject. Now, the next manifestation, at the end of the session, the fellow says to you, well, you think you're pretty hot, don't you? You look at pre-clears, will do this thing. Well, the guy's stuck on a front flinch. He's antagonistic towards you. That's just a forward flow. That's as close as he could get. Well, you probably did him a little bit of good, but he's on a front flinch. Now you process him on the second session. He's still on a front flinch. Still gives that same thing. Well, you're slipping. As an auditor, two sessions in a row, same way, end of session. See that, why you are? Because you didn't even get him from backward to forward, or backwards to middle, or forward to middle, or forward to back. See that? He's giving you the same manifestation at the end of the session. He must be in the same position as far as the communication line is concerned to the body. You couldn't then have altered markedly his communication with the body line. Must be about the same length of line. It must be in the same position on the same ridge. Well, what are you doing, Mr. Auditor? What are you doing? Because you wouldn't even have to look deeper. The other one is the communication lag. It would have remained the same. Supposing, though, his communication lag was much better, much less, and he's much more antagonistic towards you. You might have thrown him into a back flinch during the session. He's back in another front flinch. See? You might have done that. But the only thing that would tell you that is communication lag would be unmistakably better. And you might have thrown him downscale, too, at which time his communication lag would have been much slower. See, he might have had the same thing, back flinch, but now he's back flinching more slowly. See what the result of that would be? If you could just envision your pre-clear as a mass of wires passing through a mass of ridges, which you can either take or leave alone, and he's got as many of those wires live as you're validating or making him pour life through, or he's pouring life through, you can sort of take your choice there. Or you've got something you can just build a new communication line from C to E to. Well, the hell with all that junk. We're just going to throw it in the garbage lot, and we're just going to take this line, and we're going to pass it from C to you, your body. And then we're going to get you to C. Such a person, by the way, exteriorizes on this process. Mock up a dot of light behind you, now grant it beingness. Now be it. Well, okay, give me three places you're not, because he's exteriorized. Now, you could make this case do this way. You could give him an hour of mocking up a serene pool of existence way up above him somewhere and granting beingness to it. Give him a whole hour and then gradually get him up there. You just drop all the other communication lines. In other words, you get him concentrated on a new line at the expense of all the old lines. It's a workable process. Well, that's as far as exteriorization goes. Well, how do you tell the difference between what you're doing with an operating thetan? Same thing. because he'll be doing all sorts of strange and peculiar things. And he ought to change session to session like a chameleon. He ought to change fast and frequent. If he doesn't, then he's got some kind of a communication trouble, which you've neglected badly. He's carrying some kind of a bundle of clanking chains or something around with him that isn't permitting lines to pass. You better process him on courage processing while he's way out of his body until he's really set. And then you'd better turn around and process force particles until he's really satisfied. In other words, make him make up force particles. Then have him go around and be courageous toward him. And then mock up more force particles and then crush them together and spread them apart and blow them up. And do all sorts of things with force particles and shift his wavelength.